Welcome to the conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you've joined me and my wife Janine.
Hey there.
As we are talking the messy intersection of faith, family, and work. And right now it is 5:55 p.m. and we are driving home from San Francisco up the I-5 back to Redding, California. We have been away for a weekend with our four teenagers. We've got three daughters and a son, currently aged 19, 17, 15, and 13. And just this, it was a long weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, four full days, three nights away. And just want to unpack why we went on vacation, what the outcomes were, why it's so important and what it's established or reset for us as a family. Some of the challenges that we always have to overcome in deciding to go on a vacation and even being on vacation. We'll talk about Rooster and my first ever failed ice cream purchase, which was a bit of a shock. And then we're going to unpack even a little bit of detail at the end. Some of the games, some of the things that we do that are low cost, low or even no cost, that if you're listening to this and thinking I could never afford that, there's some really fun things that you can always do that have next to no cost that actually help create this an atmosphere and environment that builds family. So just as we get started, Janine, what has this been like for you the last 4 days, for you as a mum of four teenagers, as the wife of one husband? What has this been like as I reach over with the phone as you are driving? What would you comment?
This has been just a fabulous 4 days. Yes, ups and downs, lots of times that we could have got upset or could have lost the plot with one another, but really has filled my love tank as a mum of four kids, and just so worth it to laugh together and have so much fun together. We're ready to be back in our own space with our in our own beds, but just an amazing time of family togetherness and lots of laughter.
Yeah, so if I jump to straight, firstly, why do this? I've got tons of reasons why not. Finances, time, everybody's schedules, there's wrestling practice, there's kids at work, there's my work, there's all of the, I've got a book that's being launched, all these reasons why not. But the reasons of why just so far outweigh that. And the biggest thing is connection. So often we think I've got to have connection, and it's some of this intense sit down, drill down to what's really motivating a kid or husband and wife, what's so important to one another to build that connection and goals and planning. And some of you are wired that way. But all of those things only build on healthy connection to start with. So the biggest thing for me is it's been resetting of connection with me and family. It's been so good just to have extended FaceTime together without other devices, without other things, and even getting away. We were talking about getting away from our own house. We love our home. It's so peaceful. It backs onto a recreation area. I would just spend all the time there if I could. The challenge is if I stay there, then I'll be working on things in the yard. I'll be doing things around the house. There'll be always things that will crop up around us that have to be done. So getting away is so critical to protect that connection as a family. Is there anything else you'd add, Janine?
Yeah, I think what we did was we set an expectation with four teenagers that do all have their own device, that we were going to have a what we called a phone-free zone. And so once we hit the close to San Francisco, the expectation was that when we were traveling in the car, whereas normally it might be okay for you to be on your phone texting or whatever, that actually there was new sights to see, so no one was to be on their device. And that just helped us in setting setting us up for connection, because people weren't with their faces with a screen, they were actually face to face. So I think that was a critical part of us actually having successful face to face time and setting a different expectation from what is perhaps normal.
So why vacation? It resets connection. And connection. It is everything. It is everything in a husband and wife relationship. It's everything in a family relationship. And everything else rises and falls on the basis of connection. Going away like we did and not even talking deep things, no goals, no, none of those things, actually establishes a baseline of connection that from that we can talk individually or as a family about other things. But we've created such a baseline of fun and laughter. So some of the outcomes for me is, yep, it did cost. There were challenges. There were some hilarious things, but the amount of laughter that we've had in the last 4 days as a family, and probably the most laughter has been as we have been driving in and out of the city. The place we stayed was an Airbnb about 1 hour south of San Francisco Park, Golden Gate Bridge. So 1 hour south from that, because it was obviously that much cheaper. So every day we had a ton of time. We had the four and a half hour drive from Reading down to San Francisco. And the laughter and fun along the way has just been a real delight in watching that happen. It's really reminded ourselves how much we enjoy one another. What about outcomes for you, Janine?
Yeah, I think the laughter is huge because actually it just opens your heart up to one another. And it's cheap fun. So like Andy said, some of it's been in the context of driving. I don't know even how this happened, but as we drove down, someone was talking about poetry. Hannah has written a poetry book, is on the way to getting it published, and Andy was reviewing it. And so I spontaneously said to the kids, okay, everybody in the car, not just the kids, each of us, I said, you have to make up a poem and share it with us. And they said, oh, does it have to be serious? I said, heck no, it doesn't. It could be as crazy as you like. And so that started us off on this journey of laughter where everybody just spent 5-10 minutes quietly in the car writing or making something up in their head and then sharing with one another. And there was a variety of crazy poems, but just laughing together and enjoying one another's sense of humor. It's just thinking creatively and thinking outside the box to create crazy memories. We lay in bed this morning, Andy and I, talking about it, and really that's my goal, is that when we all look back on these few days together, we might not remember all the activities or what we ate, but we will look back and remember that we laughed together. And that creates something for kids to look back on.
Yeah, I think that it resets family, it models what family is like. Family is all about connection. And I think the other thing for me is just reset what we're going to do in the evenings. When you can get be tired, you sit down, you blob in front of a TV, or you just read a book, but forcing yourself through any of those tiredness or just emotionally drained from whatever's going on, and just spending even one game that you play together, or one set of cards, or one conversation. As a family, we always have, or always try to have dinner together, sitting around a table during the week. And that's just been a critical thing. And resetting those baselines, those normals as we go into the year, has been just such another good outcome for me. One of the other outcomes was complaining too. It wasn't all just laughter and fun. There was complaining, there was tears, there was irritation with one another. So it's not some clinical laughter and perfect weekend away. There were still challenges. And some of those challenges we'd love to include and let you in on. We get down to this Airbnb. It's in East Palo Alto. It's a rougher area, but seemed okay. We get in there the first night. The house has been renovated. It's an average Airbnb. It was about $800 for three nights. And we got mildly woken at about 2 o'clock a.m., 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. with a rooster. It turns out there is a rooster in the property next door that had great delight having a conversation with another rooster further away, and we were the recipients of being woken up in the middle of the night to this rooster, which is not fun. When you're in a different house, different location, you don't need that to wake you up as well, especially when it's in the middle of the city. So we actually try to take care of it, calling animal control, but they say that was nothing that they take care of. Call the police. and I certainly wasn't going to call the police to bring them in to take care of a rooster. And so that was one of the things. The other challenges, we had our first ever failed ice cream experience. We had this fun day and decided, let's get ice cream. So we look up on Yelp and find this ice cream place nearby. It's got 740 reviews with a 4+ star review out of 5. So seems to be a no-brainer. We get in there, we all get our ice creams. They weren't overly expensive, and we start eating them and start realizing not a single one of my 6 kids, and we're all mild, 6 family, all mildly addicted to ice cream, I would say, all love ice cream, and not one of us enjoyed this ice cream. It was crazy. Never before have we decided, you know what, we don't have to force ourselves to do something we don't like. So we tipped it all out in the trash can and posted a review on Yelp to let people know the truth. This ice cream is disgusting. Don't get it unless you're a fancy foo-foo ice cream person that likes real mint in your ice cream. It was crazy. Anyway, so that was another thing. We also overcame, one of the kids was sick to start with, had a cold that could have kind of sideswiped us or made us not do this, but pushed through that, and she's a Trojan in doing that. But got some drugs, tons of vitamin C, stuffed it all in, and she's turned out to be just a fully healthy and great by the second day. Anything else, babe?
I think the part of it is that just to have realistic expectations, because I think sometimes when you're going on vacation, you have this expectation that everything's going to be perfect. And just to remind yourself that it's no different than normal life. Things are going to go wrong. Things are going to be a little different than what you expect. And just to roll with the punches. And if you kind of see it as everything has to be perfect to have a good time, you'll never have a good time and you'll never have a good vacation. Whereas if you see it like that, even the disasters, even the crazy things that go wrong can be part of the fun, then you will stress out a lot less. And I think setting out other expectations before you go, particularly when you've got kids, so let them know what's realistic within the budget. Let them know what you expect to do. If you expect to eat out every night, then that's great. But if you're not going to do that, make sure that they know before they go so that they're not expecting to have something fancy and then super disappointed. It's much better to set the expectations first and then be able to kind of, you know, upgrade if you have the ability to do so. So I think that's a huge part of it being successful.
Yeah, another thing is around that expectations is going to a city is not my personal preference for any kind of vacation. My ideal vacation would be going somewhere where it's reduced stress, reduced numbers of people, in the mountains like Tahoe or Hawaii or even some cabin just north of Redding. That would be my ideal vacation for where I am at the moment. So I had to adjust that. And not only were we not doing that, we're going someplace which is downtown San Francisco. And if you've ever been there with a number of lanes, so we come from New Zealand where 2 lanes is a big road. And we go to San Francisco and there might have been 5 or 6 and there's traffic going all sorts of directions. That just jacks up my anxiety. So that was one of the things that, it was not fun. It was not fun. It adds an underlying level of stress. But the reward for what this was doing in our family is so much better than my individual comfort or willingness to avoid or embrace that anxiety associated with that stress. So those are some of the things that you just got to navigate in terms of, okay, what, this is not just about me, it's about a family. What's going to be the best for the family? And I get the core of that is growing in love, which is not about me, which is something I'm continually having to grow in and thinking, I just want to do something else. It's like, no, Andy, this is not about you. It's not your decision alone. It's about what a family wants to do. So a couple of things on that. I've been adverse to spending money on, especially on things that seem so frivolous like a vacation. This one cost us about $1,500 And I've been growing and trusting God for this. And there are lots of things that we did to ensure the cost was reduced. About two-thirds of that was purely the accommodation and food and gas, which was just a little bit more than what we'd normally even spend at home from a food and gas point of view. But the accommodation is just so crazy when you've got four kids and anywhere you go, unless you're staying in a tent or crashing in someone's house. Janine's got a great story really around this though, and her belief and trust in God. Babe, tell us about that.
So every time we've gone on vacation, we've had a number of times now where somebody has very generously given us accommodation for a vacation, but it's been in a different state. And so each time we've done that, it's meant that we've had to pray in the money to pay for to get there. And so we've had a history that God has given us money each time we've done a vacation, God has come through with finances. And so this time I knew that with Christmas just having passed and with the cost of vacation, I knew there was the potential for Andy to get stressed about finance. So on the basis of our history with God, where he's provided for vacation, I just started quietly asking God to provide some unexpected money, either just before or while we were on vacation, specifically just to offset the cost of doing fun things. And while we were there, I think the second or third day, somebody contacted us and just said, listen, how do we give some money to you guys? We want to just invest in what you're doing and invest in you guys. And so I just want you to know that you can pray and ask God for vacation money, for fun things. One time we asked God and I just remember asking God specifically for money to do fun stuff with the kids, and somebody gave us all these crazy, a huge number of vouchers for food and restaurants and fun stuff. And so this has been a number of times. This is not a one-off, you know, miraculous thing. It's God wants to provide for your vacation time and for fun for your kids. So I want to encourage you to ask. If you don't believe he wants to do that, you won't ask. And if you do believe and just simply ask, then you're going to see his provision turn up.
So for me, on the side of that, is I've had to continually grow in letting go control and fear around finances because of where I've come from. And that was this case as well, as trusting my wife, trusting God, and growing to that place where actually, God, you have provided every time in the past when we've done this. Number two is rethinking everything I do, is I can turn it into worship. So it literally became, God, I'm trusting you in this. I know this is important to you. I've always found it really, really easy to write a check out to give to somebody, to give to some organization, because I've, in the back of my mind, I've considered that to be more spiritual. And I've been challenged lately doing Bill Johnson's Way of Life series about everything is spiritual when I do it and do it with a heart to God. What if the way that I gave to my family, the way that I gave to my wife, the way that I gave to my kids also is an act of worship and is a spiritual thing because it brings pleasure to God? And so that's another area that I'm personally growing in. So I want to challenge you, if this is a challenge to you, why don't you just talk to God about it and ask his thoughts on you going on vacation, whether that's you yourself, whether are you worth the investment of a vacation? And secondly, for your family, for your spouse, ask him what he thinks about that, what he would do, and then ask him for the provision. And perhaps you've got to make the plan before the provision comes through. And that was the case for us with this. So
the other thing you can do though is, again, it comes down to expectations. So we were going to go to Pier 39, which is full of fun food places to eat. And so what we did with the kids, we made sandwiches so that we took the edge of hunger off. And then we said to everybody, you can choose one fun thing to eat there. So we weren't paying for a meal for everybody down there, but we did say they could have one fun thing. And so, again, it's balancing what can you afford, what can't you afford, what's realistic, setting good expectations, and then trusting God. But also, you know, we in the past, that would have been, the fun thing would have been one packet of hot donuts to share between the family. Well, this time we were able to do, you know, each person choose their favourite thing. So as long as everybody knows what to expect, you can get away with, you know, setting lower expectations if that's what you need to do.
So what we did every day is we made lunch. We didn't eat out for dinner, but we would eat, we'd take lunch and then we'd buy something to add to that. Other than driving home, we've got a favourite Panera bread that we went in as a family on the way home. So that would have saved us a huge amount of money compared to buying out, especially with a family of six. So we ate things like hamburgers, nachos, and lasagna at home because we purchased it at a supermarket, and then we had an Airbnb, and so we got to make all that for ourselves in the kitchen. So it was a significant savings for us to then spend that money, what we would have spent on food, we got to spend it on activities. So let's dive into some of the stuff that we got to do, because there's some things in here that I think is really helpful for, I wish I'd knew these things earlier, but some of the things that we've found were super fun. And sometimes it's not the expensive thing that is the most fun for a family. So I'm just gonna go through some of the things that we did and just trust that it would either spark ideas in you. And if you don't want the details, you can always just stop this podcast now. But here's some of the things that we did. On the first day, we just went down to Pier 39. So that's all free. Looking around, watching the sea lion. Was it sea lions? Mm-hmm. Just having fun as a family. We'd had our lunch, and then we just bought something fun on top of that, which for you and I was a crepe.
Delicious crepe. And our son, his favorite thing to eat is clam chowder. And so he found a great clam chowder shop down there and got himself a bowl of clam chowder.
Yeah, on the second day, how did you find out that place? We did this thing called, it's an adventure quest. I'll post the link in the notes. And it was crazy fun. For $50, we spent 3 hours as a family doing something that's kind of modeled off exploring a city and the Amazing Race. So you literally follow clues. You start at one point in the city. And we spent 3 hours in San Francisco going from place to place, answering clues, using your phone, on foot, I loved it.
It was great. And all I did, honestly, was I Googled fun things to do with teens in San Francisco. And, you know, it comes up with a big list, and some of them are crazy expensive, and some of them are ones that you know won't hit the spot for your family. But this one I thought sounded good, and once I followed the link and found out $50, I thought that's a cheap 3 or 4 hours for our family. We used to watch The Amazing Race. We love puzzle solving, and it was a great way to see the sights of San Francisco. We would never have walked for 3 hours looking at sights in San Francisco, but the fact that we were on a quest and the potential to beat other families meant that we
number eight going. People,
we
number
would,
eight,
we would win. So we had a great time, and mate, you know, everyone was involved. The kids said afterwards their favorite parts of that were the parts where everybody had to search out a piece of the answer of the clue. So just a good fun, and those are all around, so look for them. You can, they're in a number of cities over the whole of the American continent, I think. So have a look for that.
So then we had mini golf. The next day...
I just want to say that the mini golf came because I said to the kids, search out, you know, what are other fun things to do? And our 13-year-old found that particular mini golf, and it was a fantastic course. It had each hole was a landmark of San Francisco. It was indoors, so it didn't matter that it was cold outside, and it was a great win. It was a fantastic, fun time, and the 13-year-old found it.
Yeah, and let's not talk about who won.
I don't mind talking about who won, because it was me.
You need patience to play those sorts of games. Sunday, we went to the Science Academy, California Science Academy. We went there because we'd been there maybe 5-6 years ago.
Well, the kids were really little, so longer ago than that, I believe.
And we remembered it from a long time ago. It's expensive to get there. It cost $230 for the entire family. And we figured, okay, we're going to get there. We're going to spend most of the day there. It was wet outside, so it didn't matter being inside. If you've never been there or checked it out, check it out online. It is a phenomenal place. For this... it was kind of like we remembered it being amazing and running out of time with little kids. This time's with the kids that were older. What do you think?
Yeah, it was great. We enjoyed it, but definitely aimed at the younger crowd. If you have kids that are sort of 5 to 10 age group, fantastic. You will spend the whole day there and there's tons and tons to explore. We enjoyed it. Probably not worth the money for us and the age group, but everyone did enjoy it and we still had, you know, laughter. And it's kind of fun when your 16-year-old son is coming up to you and saying, Mum, come look at this. How cool is this jellyfish? You've got to come see this with me.
So go and check those out. I think there's anywhere in any city around the world, there's always museums, some places that you may not necessarily think of going to, depending on how you grew up. But those things are great fun for the whole family that you may be surprised at what you learn. And that was our failed ice cream on the way home. Oh, it's depressing.
That's all right. We decided instead that we bought a tub of ice cream to take home for dessert that night, and it all turned out all right in the end. The other thing was that when we had gone to the Science Museum, we expected to find these things called surreys. They're kind of like a four-wheel, four-seater bike, not four seats in a row, but side by side. And I had seen them there a couple of months ago when we visited San Francisco and decided that would be a fun thing. And we thought they would be that by the Science Museum, and they weren't. And then I really felt like that was something that was going to be fun for the family to do. So we managed to find where they were today, this morning, and that's probably been the highlight of the trip.
For $45
for an hour, we all six of us sat on a four-seater surrey and biked our way along the waterfront, and oh my gosh, I'm not sure what everybody thought of us as we laughed and kind of cheered for each other and changed seats while driving along, biking along the sidewalk. Hilarious fun. The best $45 I've spent in a long time.
And physically active. It's harder work, I think, riding that thing than a normal bicycle running.
By far harder.
But the laughter and the fun, I'll have to post a picture of it. It was hilarious and super fun. And then this afternoon, we'd wanted to go on the cable car. The cable car?
Cable car, yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun experience when we finally got onto it, but the surrounding experience, the wait lines and everything else, was pretty disappointing from a tourism San Francisco point of view. But you got to do it. Got to do it at least once, is go on that tram in San Francisco.
Well, and the chance for your teenagers to legally stand up while driving along and hang out into traffic. Not often you get to do that and not be worried that, you know, you're going to be in trouble with the law. I think, again, reasonably cheap, fun, just something that's great to do with teens.
But every night we would get back and we would have dinner together and then we would play games and we would force everybody. It wasn't always pleasant forcing people to the table, but once we got them to the table, including ourselves, we had a blast. And so there's a number of games that just made us laugh the most. And one of them we got for Christmas called Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. I think it's just called Taco Cat Game. It's a card game, which is just absolutely hilarious. I don't even know how to explain it.
It's kind of a crazy version of Snap, but nothing like the original Snap. It requires a little bit of thinking, but just nobody can get it right. So you end up just laughing at each other and at yourself, and well worth a cheap little game that you can put in any travel bag and have fun with.
So I'll post a link there. The other one, the card game that was hilarious, it's called You've Got Crabs. And again, it's like Snap. It's making pairs, or you're working in pairs. So in our family of six, we're working in three pairs. And it's competitive between each other. Again, check it out. It's got nothing to do with any disease. Just put it that way. But it was absolutely hilarious as well, which we both got laughter and tears at different points. The other ones, we love to play Nerds. What's Nerds?
Nerds is a speed card game. Everyone has their own pack of cards. It's not for the faint of heart. it's a tradition with our family, actually from previous generation. I have played with my parents and my siblings, and it's a go, you know, a fallback one for us, always a good one. And again, you, it doesn't matter which games you play, just find something that your family can enjoy. And yes, you have to push yourself. We had big days. Like, we did the Amazing Race. We were on our feet for hours, beyond the 3 hours that we walked around. We were on our feet most of the day. We were all really, really tired. And it, the easiest thing would have been to fall back on just, let's watch TV together, let's just all blob and do our own thing. But we pushed ourselves past that and made, in a sense, nobody was super, you know, against doing that. But we had to push ourselves, and it's so worth pushing people to join in and just doing something crazy. Don't make it a serious thing. Just be able to laugh and have fun together.
So there's a couple other games. Trekking the National Parks board game, that was a new one we got for Christmas, and that was super fun. And another one that's hilarious is called Chick-a-Pig, which is a fiercely competitive. Chick-a-Pig is a cross between a chicken and a pig, and you can just check that out. But overall, it's been 4 days, it's been tiring, there's been roosters waking us up, it's been different beds, there's been challenges, it's been stressful driving, and it's been the best 4 days of the year, and we're still in December. So as of 2019, not 2020. So it's been crazy well worth it. Huge, huge credit goes to my wife for getting this really organized from the start, making that happen. And there was so much joy and laughter, which is why this is so important. We encourage you to take the time, make the time of building that connection with a family. Any final comments?
Yeah, I think particularly I want to speak to you dads and sometimes you mums that find it difficult to unplug. I know for Andy, like he said, he's got a book that's about to come out. He made a real push in the days before we came away to get everything done that had to be done so that he could totally unplug. I know it's not easy, but your kids know when you are only half there, and it's hugely important that when you decide to come on vacation, all of you comes, like your brain, your heart, your whole mind, so that you're not you know, focused on work. If you have to do that, then set a certain time, if at all possible, during the day, like from 8 till 10 in the morning, I'm going to be at work, and I'm going to lock myself in my room and work, and then I'm going to be fully available for the rest of the day. Because there's something about not talking about the normal things and not having to make phone calls and take phone calls and answer texts that really, really contributes to you being able to unplug and everybody being able to unplug and laugh together.
So this has been a longer podcast than normal, and it's probably because it's just such an important topic, vacation. Hopefully we're giving you some why, some how, some details. We'll post those notes in the session notes there for you. But trust, this has been super valuable as you build your own life around the messy connection between family, faith, and work. If this has been valuable to you, then check us out more on andyandjanine.com. There's some places we're coming to early in the new year. And we just bless your week and your planning for 2020.
Bye.